This is Georgia Public Broadcasting. I'm Stephen Fowler. It's been nearly 40 years since the city of Atlanta was gripped with fear as more than two dozen victims, mainly young black males, were taken and killed over a two-year span. The Atlanta child murders took place in a time of racial tension heightened by the search and ultimate arrest of a black killer, Wayne Williams. Atlanta-based filmmaker Payne Lindsay and his partner Donald Albright are launching a new podcast about the murders called Atlanta Monster. They join me in the studio now. Payne and Donald, welcome to you both.
Hey, Stephen. How you doing?
Thanks for having us.
It's now 2018. These murders took place decades ago. Why are you revisiting this particular case at this particular time?
This story is so big, and its effect on Atlanta culture and society here, it still lingers today. You know, I was born in 87, so I wasn't even around when this was happening. But as I started digging into this case and learning more about it, I just saw so many parallels between 2018 and even 1980, how much has changed and how much really hasn't changed. And all the racial issues that surround this case are really still relevant here today.
And this isn't your first foray into this true crime series, is it?
It's not. It's my second. My first podcast was called Up and Vanished. It was an investigative podcast about a missing woman from South Georgia named Tara Grinstead. I spent about a year and a half looking into this case, and about 6 months after the podcast started, the GBI received a tip that prompted them to arrest two people for Tara's murder. And this was an unsolved case. No one knew what happened for over a decade. Then all of a sudden, two arrests and some major movement in this case.
So, Donald, this podcast is inherently centered around African Americans in Atlanta in the late 70s and early 80s. You, as an African American man working with Payne, who is white, how did that dynamic of race and that dynamic of different generational experiences come into play with producing this podcast?
I think it was a huge advantage because, you know, we both bring our, not only our own personalities to it, but our own upbringings. And, you know, I'm 10 years older than Payne. I'm from California. I was 2 years old when this was happening. But I remember it being part of my life growing up, just hearing about it. Whereas Payne may have heard it in passing, but didn't, it's nothing that stuck with him because, you know, he was born 10 years after. But I think, you know, the dynamic that we have is that I know what's going to reach my audience, and he knows what's going to reach that the millennial, younger audience who's, you know, they're into podcasts a lot more than, you know, the 40 to 60-year-old African-American community. So it's kind of this weird dynamic where we kind of have these two groups that we're targeting. Some are already on the platform where this will come out, and others are familiar with the story. So we have to merge these two groups together and really just tell them the compelling story that they may think that they know, and they don't really know all the details. And others will ask themselves, you know, I'm 30 years old. This happened before I was born, but how come I've never heard about this? It's such a massive story with so many racial implications, and it's really kind of dives into like what the culture was in this country just 30, 40 years ago. And it's kind of striking of how it compares today.
You grew up on the other side of the country from where these murders took place, yet you say you remember it happening. And in the first episode of the podcast, you bring that up and you talk about this public service announcement that appeared on several newscasts. Let's take a listen to that.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?
And I still remember that. Like, literally remember that.
So, listening to that, it's obviously something that transcends just an Atlanta audience and just an Atlanta experience. How did you go about telling a story that's inherently about Atlanta for an Atlanta audience, but also reaching a national audience without having a disservice to one or both of those audiences?
I mean, it's certainly a challenge. I think, I mean, just when I heard that clip just then, it's 10 p.m., do you know where your children are? That to me sounded like it was out of a horror movie or something, but those were real life news clips. That wasn't just happening in Atlanta. That was all across the nation. There was this paranoia throughout the whole country to protect your kids because kids were just going missing in Atlanta with zero explanation. And I think that that story resonates with everybody. It's not strictly an Atlanta story. It's a national story.
It's one of those things where you have to be very conscious of how we tell this story. It's very sensitive. There's a lot of victims. There's a lot of victims' families that are still out there. We want to tell all sides of this story and be respectful of the victims, honor those victims, and be true to kind of what the lasting impression and the lasting effects that this had on the Atlanta culture.
A lot of this podcast pulls from archival audio, like the newscast clips that we heard. A lot of it pulls from Payne's curiosity and narration as he explores through this. But a lot of it comes from in-person interviews with people that are affiliated and associated with this case. How did you find these people, and how did you convince them to talk?
Just in general, just finding them was difficult. And then once you found them, they haven't talked about this case in probably 10-plus years. And it's a very sensitive topic. Every family member I've talked to, they've all told me the same thing. And it's that they don't feel like the door has been closed on this case. They don't feel like there's been justice. And that alone is what's been driving me.
And let's listen to some of the opening seconds of the podcast where you talk to two brothers who lived in Atlanta in that time.
It was always be careful. You know, everywhere y'all go, go in groups. You know what I'm saying? It was like everybody was scared. And definitely the people from where we grew up. Around from where we from, everybody over there was scared because that's where they was getting the kids from.
Yeah, that's Jasper and Eric Cameron. So we wanted to, we have to hear from the people who were here. You know, I can tell you my experience from 3,000 miles away. Payne can tell you his experience from what he's heard from his dad since starting this podcast. But no one's going to tell us how they felt being 5 years old, 10 years old, when kids their age were missing from their neighborhoods. And I think that's what this podcast brings, is authentic voices, true to Atlanta. And really the only people qualified to speak about this are people that we're talking to.
I want to play one final clip from the opening episode. This is Kalinda Lee with the Atlanta History Center talking about the racial divide in the city at the time.
That fracture, I don't think, was ever fully healed within the Atlanta community. There was a sense that maybe, you know, some folks felt safe enough based on a degree of economic privilege. And again, that these folks who were most marginalized already anyway just were kind of left to fend for themselves.
Donald, the look on your face right now after listening to that clip suggests that that's not just an isolated case from 30 years ago.
Correct. That's not an isolated case from 30 years ago. It's not an isolated case what was just going on in Atlanta 30 years ago. I think if you look at what's going on today in America, that is, you know, that's the parallel. I mean, we have the same divides. And I think there's a clip in episode one where a news reporter from, I believe it was 1980, did a poll of Atlanta citizens and asked, you know, is the treatment of African-American citizens any different than the treatment of white citizens? And of course, the African-American community said, yes, we are being treated differently. And the white community said they felt it was more fair. And I think if you took that same poll now, not that much has changed over the past 40 years. I think a lot of progress has been made where we've pulled a lot of people up to the top, but a lot have been left at the bottom. And it looks like progress more than actually feels like progress to most people.
Payne Lindsay and Donald Albright are with Atlanta-based media company Tenderfoot TV. Their new podcast, Atlanta Monster, is out today. Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate it.